here tonight.
As those songs were going, Mr. Pryor, I really appreciate your line of thinking there. What came to my mind was when Jesus is going into Jerusalem, riding on that little donkey, about the people shouting out, Hosanna. I was thinking about that, you know, and people trying to tell him, well, don't do that. No, I forbid you. Don't say that. Don't say that to him. And, you know, Christ said, the very rocks will cry out if these don't. And I was thinking about that. And, you know, today, the way the world is, everywhere you turn around, don't mention the name of Jesus. Oh, no. Don't mention his name. No, you can talk about God in a broad sense. You can talk about this creator of the universe on a natural perspective. But don't you ever mention the name of Jesus. Why, you might offend somebody. Well, let me tell you, my Jesus, just like that said in that song right there, what did he do for me? He lifted me up from this world. He pulled me out of this mire. And I want to lift up the name of Jesus tonight. I want to lift up his name. I want to say Hosanna to the highest. Thank you, Lord. We have an opportunity to come here and to lift him up. You know, if anything else, if I can come here tonight and just get my gratitude across, just get my love across to him and just say, Lord, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy of anything you've ever done for me, but thank you. Thank you for that opportunity. Thank you for touching me. Thank you for allowing me to accept you as my Savior. Thank you for opening my eyes up to enough to see that I needed the Holy Ghost. You know, one day I was a small child. I don't know what great understanding I had, but I had the ministry of the body of Christ coming over the pulpit here and there, a little bit and here a little and there a little, and I would hear things, that Holy Ghost. You need that Holy Ghost. You know, and then talk about it on the day of Pentecost. And, you know, as a kid, that's a cool story to just go over in your mind because, you know, I'll just say for me, when you're sitting there and you're reading it and, you know, you know the rushing mighty wind comes in and it fills all the house where they were sitting. And then, you know, they've got the cloven tongues. What am I seeing? I'm seeing fire on top of their heads. You know, I'm thinking, what's going on? But it was something, it built something up in me saying, you know what? I want that. Because the ministry was telling me, you need that. You can have that. That's not just for, you know, 2,000 years ago, but it's for today. That life of God, the very Spirit of God can indwell in you. And that put a hunger inside me to where I just, you know, kept seeking it. And thankfully, and is Brother McGowan sick tonight, Sister McGowan? Oh, well, I definitely have to remember him in prayer tonight. But I was thinking, I thought about this the other day. And I'll bet you he didn't even remember or know. The night I got the Holy Ghost, it was a Sunday service. We only had one back then. We started at 4:30. And Brother McGowan was up and he was giving his heart. And he called an altar call. And I mean, you know, everyone came up. And it was that night. I don't know if he said something different that just clicked in me that night. But it was like, you know, everyone else was seeking for the Spirit of God or for the Holy Ghost. I just raised my hands and started seeking, and next thing I know, the gift of the Holy Ghost came down on me that day. He poured His Spirit out on me that day. He looked down on that boy and said, I'll put my Spirit in your flesh. And I want to remember that. I want to lift that up, you know. And as I've related before, Sister Tally was my teacher in those days, many, many years ago. And I can remember being so excited because, you know, my parents weren't in church at that time. Well, no, we were in church then, but through my earlier grades, I had friends in the school, of course, that were in church, and they would talk about meetings and different things like that, and it built a hunger inside me because, you know, my grandma and grandpa would bring me to church, and I would think, you know, I want that. I want to know what that's like. And then when we came back to church and that night, being able to receive the Holy Ghost, I can remember going to her, and I tried my best to tell her I had the Holy Ghost, but I couldn't do anything but speak in tongues. Well, guess what? She got the message. She figured it out. And I just want to remember things like that. You know, as we're going through these songs, you know, that the We've come to this place to worship Him. I was thinking about that, you know. That's why I've came here. And the thing is, I want to think about not just tonight coming here to worship Him, but, you know, when we gather together with any of God's people. When I go to my own home and I have my family there, we have the Spirit of God in as much as I allow it in my home. And in that place and how I act and how I set my children up, that's a way I'm worshiping Him. I'm not just worshiping Him with lip service, but it's when I've told my son many times, you know I can trust you, it's whenever I'm not with you. If I'm not with you and I have no problem, I know that I can trust you, that's when that trust is really there. It's not just when I'm standing over you and you're doing everything I've told you to do. That's good. That's obedience. But whenever I can walk away and turn my back and you're doing the things that I've taught you, then I know I can trust you. I can have confidence in what you're going to do. Well, that's what I want, God. I want that in me. Not just whenever I'm here behind a pulpit or in church with my brothers and sisters, but out in the world. Whenever they're telling me, don't you say that name of Jesus. Oh, no, that's taboo. Well, let me tell you, I want to shout it from the housetops. Jesus is my Savior. By no other name shall man be saved, but by His name. And it's not just the name of Jesus, but we know what goes with it. It's that authority. It's the backing of God. I want to be able to live in that. I want to be able to know that my life speaks the name of Jesus. That one day that you won't look at me and see Brother Phil Fisher, but you'll see Christ. And as I look at you, I'll see Christ in your life. And that's when He's magnified and lifted up, when they see Him in us. And that's what's going to draw men into this body of people, to seeing what we have today. Because I tell you, I just, on a day-to-day basis, in my job, and Brother Brett Weiger has spoke to it many times, we have very similar roles. You're out and about, and you're talking with different people and rubbing shoulders. I mean, you come across every type of person out there, from the atheist to the non-believer to the believer to the believer. Let me put quotes on that one. That speaks it outwardly, but their actions don't back it up. And I'm not going to say anything to them. I'm not going to try to condemn them, but I'm seeing those things, and I'm seeing, you know, what is that showing those people around them when their actions are speaking louder than their words? Well, yeah, that's one of them Christians. Ooh, big deal. You know, they say Jesus with this hand, and then they'll cut your throat with this one. I don't want that as my testimony. I want to be sincere in this. I want this, as we sing those songs, you know, this is my life. This is what I live for. You know, Wednesday night, I don't know if it would be Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday. You know, if that's what I need to be a part of the body of Christ, to one day rule and reign with Him, to truly become a part of the bride, then so be it, if that's what I need. But you know, I want to be able to glean more from this so that in my daily walk, that once again, I don't have to have Him right over my shoulder, but God can have confidence in me to know that, you know what, He's got it planted in His heart. And as He's walking out there amongst this world and things are going that way, I can have confidence in Him. That's my desire today. As I come in here to lay myself down and to worship Jesus, is to get closer to Him, to get a stronger connection, so that daily, that, you know, one day, you know, this is, as Brother Painter, I'll use those, it's the Wonderful Wednesday. You don't know how many times I'll use what you said, that was some years ago now, about naming the days. I use that with my customers, and every single time I'll get a smile from them, or I'll get a laugh on the phone. You know why? Because there's a lot of negativity in this world. They're getting hit with it on every side. But if I can be just a little bit of ray of sunshine, if I can just say, hey, you know what? It's okay today. It's all right. Things are going to be okay. I can't fix your problems, but you know what? I know a man who can. And I may not say that so much with an outward manifestation, because, you know, I'm just being honest, and most of you would agree with me, I don't want to lose my job today. Secondly, you're going to turn a lot of people off.
But if my life will speak for that, when those hard times are coming against them, when they're facing problems that they have no answers for, then they may look back in their mind and go, you know what? Hey, that guy Phil, that brother Painter, that Nathan Painter at Lafferty, he said something to me one time. There was something different about him. Maybe I could call him. Those are those connections. We're planting those seeds today. You know, I thought brother Brett Weinger did an excellent job at a men's meeting we had, I don't know, I guess it was maybe a month or so at Brother Pryor's house, and he was relating a story about a particular circumstance that he's been involved in and that he's had a chance to get to know some different people. You know, he is planting seeds is what he's doing. And as things change, as the prophecies come forth, as more of what God, as he manifests himself in a stronger way, as things start to happen in this world, people are going to remember those that have planted those seeds. And that's what I want in my life. I want to be able to be one of those that are throwing those seeds out. I'm not sowing them before the swine. I'm not trying to push the doctrine down their throat. But I'm just trying to say, you know what? By my actions, hey, God does love you. There is a silver lining behind that cloud. There is a brighter day. The sun will come up again. Because why? Because we serve a great God who is worthy to be praised, who should be magnified, not just with an outward manifestation. That's important. That's very important. I want to be sincere. When I come up here, you know, I'll tell you, when I was sitting here, you know, I wanted so much to have that strong strength in me to say, you know, bless God, let's conquer the world. But bless the Lord, today I felt conquered. You know, it was just, it wasn't a bad day at work. It was a wonderful Wednesday. But it was hallelujah, I am at church. But I don't want to just sit on my laurels. I don't want to just come here and just take it as a comfort zone. But I need to remember, why am I here? Is there something I can do tonight to lift His name? Is there something I can do? If it's just raise my arms. If it's just to praise Him. Hey, I apologize in advance. The Lord dealt with me a long time ago about this, so I'll just give you this testimony. You know, as a kid growing up in this church, there were certain, and they happened to most time be sisters, so this is really how God has a sense of humor. I'm just telling you this. There were certain people who they could really connect with God, and a lot of time, though, they were loud, and they had a very distinct yell, or it was something that, you know, number one, you knew they were there, and number two, but always somehow God's Spirit moved in that, and you could feel it. But as a younger kid, I just thought, oh, there they go again. Oh, you know, okay, here it comes. You know, because I didn't have the idea. Such a tally. I'm telling off, okay? I'm just, you know, I'm saved by the word of my testimony here, all right? Sister Kinsinger, for those of you who remember her, you know what I wouldn't give today to hear her say, oh, bless this wonderful day. You know, you could feel her testimony through that. You could feel the pain, the hurt, things she'd went through in life. But through it all, she was praising His name. She was lifting Him up. Sister Foster, and that blood-curdling yell of hers, you know, that, I can't even do it, I'm not going to do it, I'm amped here. I'm just saying, though, you know, she had a distinct sound, but it connected up with God. You know, and I can remember many times, I was a very introverted child, very shy and backward. I know you guys believe that, right? I was. I really was. But the thing is, God's been working on me that, you know what, you can be shy in every way you want to, but when you're in church, you lift up your hands and you praise my name with all your heart, with all your might. So I don't want to just sit back. You know, this is for me. This is, if it helps someone of y'all, I'm happy, but I'm just giving you why sometimes I might yell out and just say, praise you, Lord, because God has put it in my heart that maybe someday a little child might say, you know what, I'm going to be just as annoying as him. I'm going to praise him because it seems to work for Brother Phil. Maybe sometimes he gets a blessing. And so I want to lift my hands today. I want to praise my Lord today because he's worthy of all praise. He is worthy of all praise. Do you believe it with me? When we were hearing that back there, I want to just shut my eyes. meditate on Him? Can I get a little closer? Can I reach a little closer? Can I press through that throng and say, I'm going to touch the hem of His garment tonight. I want something for You, Lord. I need You tonight, Lord. I need that touch. I don't want to just come here. I don't want to just burn another hour. I can think of other ways to waste time. I'm not wasting time tonight. I need You, Lord. I need that touch. I've got things wrong in my life. I need Him to cut that flesh out. I can't do it myself, but I can come here and I can lay myself on that altar and say, God, have mercy on me and help me, Lord. Lord, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit in me, Lord, so that I can walk one more day with You, Lord. So I can get a little bit closer to You, Lord, so that off in the distance, seeing the bride of Christ, hey, it's one step closer. It's one step closer. Someday, so soon, we're going to be right there. We're not going to realize. It's like, you know, it's here. It's here. You know, I don't think God is not going to announce it from the housetops. Hey, by the way, it's time. Did you guys get the memo? Was it on Facebook? Twitter? Did God tweet you? Or, you know, because I've heard Brother Smith and other ministers relay about, you know, and I have some loved ones that are like this, you know, well, I'll go to church as things start to happen. You know, I'm not going to take that chance. I want to be here now. I want to be a part of this today. I want to be a part of this right now because this is the day of the Lord for me. This is the opportunity I have. Because if I'm not here now, there sure isn't any type of guarantee I'll be here later or that I'll be given an opportunity to start seeing those things. But I want to be here right now as we start getting closer and closer to God. And you know the beautiful thing about that? It's here today. It's here right now. It's just up to me. Am I going to focus this way? Am I going to close myself off? Or am I going to worship Him? Am I going to say, thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord, for this opportunity to be in this place with my brothers and sisters. I'm gathered with an innumerable, well, there's, I can't say innumerable. I'm gathered with a numbered group of people tonight who are, however, angels of God, who have the Holy Ghost in their life. And the more of us there are, the more of that Spirit, the more we can pull down, the more we can get those cleansings. To where, I'm not going to quote it from the Scriptures, but where the different lengths, it was at what? It was at ankle length, it was at knee deep, it was at the hip at one level, right? And then it was water so you could swim in. Do you want to go swimming tonight? Do you want to dive in that holy river of God? Feel those waves of His Spirit cleansing over you where you're thinking, I really need that new celestial body now because this one's not going to take it. Oh, God, grant it, Lord. Lord, it's only me standing in the way of You, Lord. Get this flesh out of my way. I just wanted to get up tonight and say, hey, it is a wonderful Wednesday. What you want from God, you can have. It's up to you. Just reach out tonight. Reach out. Make it a different night. Hey, you remember that service? February 5th, 2014, wow, that was a great service. Man, I left there changed. My life was different. Or I can go out that door and say, well, it was another Wednesday night. It's my choice. It's my choice. I want to choose Him. I want to choose Him because He, in His wisdom, allowed me to walk this way. So I just want to say I really am privileged to be here tonight. And I'll take us to prayer. I know we need to remember Brother McGowan as he's hurt himself. And I saw Brother Daniels. Is he still in the hospital? Need to remember him very much, though, being diagnosed with congestive heart failure. We definitely need to lift him up. Brother Stewart. Diet test? A dye test. All right, they're going to do a dye test tomorrow at 8 a.m. for Brother Daniels. He did have a heart attack. So, you know, let's really remember him. Let's lift him up as we're, you know, in our days tomorrow, thinking about him. He's had God work in his life many ways to help him through many trials, I can remember going up to the hospital with Brother Weinger and some other brothers praying for him when he had the tumor. God was there for him in this. God will be for him in this. So let's just remember him. Other needs. Brother Al. Let's remember Sister Elsie. Definitely lift her up. She's in the hospital again. Sister McGowan. Let's remember Sister Crow and Brother Crow both as they're going through this and with her having shingles. Sister Thompson? Let's remember Sister Thompson's dad. And I was thinking about Joe the other day. I haven't seen his face in a while. I was going to tease him about those bees. So just let him know I'm still waiting for him to let me in the business, all right? Brother Painter, do you know more about Brother Main? Oh. All right, let's remember Brother Main in Northwest Arkansas and Brother Wallace. Brother Smith is homesick. Let's remember Brother Smith. You know, I know I have had a hard time getting rid of everything that's been plaguing me. I don't feel sick, but it just, I can't get it all whipped, so I know that's probably how he's been feeling as well, and you know how it feels when you can't get well. Let's really lift Brother Smith up. We know that he's got a great burden for the body of Christ in so many areas, that not only this church, but the Dominican work and others, so let's pray for him. Any others tonight that we have? Brother Dawson. All right, Brother Keith has some unspoken. Then my grandfather's, from time to time, he'll come to me and just say he's having trouble breathing. So we'll remember him in our prayers as well. Let's remember my mother, Sister Fisher. She's having some trouble with her arm from where she fell the other day. And just remember her in your prayers as well. Yes, sir, Brother. Yes, let's remember Sister Inez and continue to lift her up in your prayers, Brother Crafton. All right, Sister Jenny Crafton, and you said, what was he at last? The rest of his family as well, they've quite a few of them have been in this church before. Let's remember them. Any other needs that we have tonight to lift up before God? If the ushers would come forward also, we'll go ahead and thank you, brother. Stand and take these needs before the Lord. And you know, the wonderful thing is we do have our Savior to call on. For all of these needs, we don't have answers. We don't have the solutions to a lot of the problems, whether it be sickness or other concerns, but we know a man who can. We know our great physician. Let's lean on him tonight. Let's remember that he's there for us through this all. Dear Jesus, help us, Lord. Oh God, through these times of hurt, Lord. Oh Jesus, we're calling on you. So many requests we bring to you tonight, Lord. Dear Jesus, oh God, without you, Lord, we're lost, dear Jesus. But thank you, Lord, for you, that you've given us a hope, dear Jesus. Each and every one that's been mentioned here tonight, Lord. Oh God, from Sister Elsie, to Brother McGowan, Lord, Brother Main, my grandfather, my mother, Lord, the Crafton family, Sister Inez, dear God, so many needs here tonight, Lord. Brother Smith, dear Jesus, touch him, dear God. Oh God, get him through this sickness, dear Lord. Lord, we're calling on you, Lord. You said you knew our needs before we had even to ask them, Lord, but we're bringing them up before you tonight, Lord. God, we believe in you, Lord. We have faith. Oh God, you'll see us through these. No matter how it is, that you take care of these needs, Lord. We want to have that faith in you, Lord. Dear God, just to go on, Lord. Move one more step closer to you, dear Jesus. We want to lift you up. magnify your name, Lord. Oh, Jesus, we thank you, Lord. Oh, God, believe, Lord, these are going to be taken care of, Lord, in your wisdom, Lord. Oh, God, strengthen us through them, Lord, through the pains, through the trials, through the tests, dear Jesus. We just want to magnify your name, Lord. We want to lift you up. Oh, God, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to talk to you, Lord, to bring our needs to you, dear God. Oh, God, to rest in your assurance, dear Jesus. We appreciate you, Lord. Help Sister Crow and Brother Crow tonight, Lord. Oh, God, been faithful saints throughout the years, Lord. Touch them, Lord. Give them strength in this time, dear Jesus. Oh, God, we love you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Oh, Jesus, wonderful Savior. Bless you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God, we want to worship you, Lord. Oh, God, we want to praise you, Lord. Oh, God. Not just with an hour, Lord, but, oh, God, my heart, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Savior, Savior, Savior. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you,
as he went up a mountain to pray, he sent his disciples away on a ship tossed to and fro in the midst of the sea. But in the fourth watch of the night, the disciples cried out in fright. Jesus said, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Keeping my eyes upon Jesus. He's my Savior, don't you know? He's the one who lived and died to save my soul. The waves of life all around us and the boisterous wind that blows. I'm keeping my eyes on the one who gives me hope." Who was praying, "Lord, bid me to walk on the way." When he saw the wind and waves, he began to sink. Peter cried, "Lord, save me." Jesus reached forth his hand to retrieve. "Oh, thou of little faith, could you not believe? He's my Savior, don't you know? He's the one who lived and died to save my soul. The waves of life all around us and the boisterous wind that blows. I'm keeping my eyes on the one who gives me hope." One who was brave, "Lord, bid me to walk on the wave." When he saw the wind and waves, he began to sing. Peter cried, "Lord, save me." Jesus reached forth his hand to retrieve. "Oh, thou of little faith, could you not believe? Savior, don't you know? He's the one who lived and died to save my soul.
never would I have thought that I would be here this many years. My journey started here in 1986, and I looked around a minute ago just to make sure. I started out, my dad raised me in the Church of Christ, and I truly respect what he has created in his own life with his relationship with the Lord and what he instilled in my sister and I. Of course, you know, there's a whole world of difference in what I believe now and what they believe, but they do have, if they serve the Lord, if they truly serve the Lord like we do, let me tell you, they are some devout Christians. And things that have been said tonight, it's been a wonderful week, all week even. It's been wonderful, but I want to share an experience that happened with my dad late Sunday night. I had woke up early Monday morning and had gotten a text from my sister that she said, call me in the morning when you get up. I had to take Dad to the ER last night. Everything's fine, but just let me know when you wake up. And so I texted her and told her, when I was awake. And I go to just about every doctor's appointment that he has because he's very hard of hearing. He has a cochlear implant in one ear and a hearing aid in the other, and he's lost that hearing aid. They've just got it replaced. So, I mean, it is a challenge. He does not, I think a lot of people with hearing, I notice it with Sister Kinsinger and just several different people, you know, after a certain point, they just get so frustrated that it's more harder for them to try to understand, and they will answer, you know, yes and no, and not even knowing what they're answering. So because of that, I have always tried to make sure that I get to every doctor's appointment with him, except for his primary care physician, which they communicate pretty good. But he had done a sleep study a couple of weeks ago, which he's had a sleep apnea machine for years, but it's been years, so it was time for a new one. And went over there or went to Searcy. My aunt lives there in Searcy, so she took him and dropped him off. He left his car there, went back and got him the next morning, and then he came on to Little Rock that day, and I took him to his neurology appointment. Well, he didn't tell me that the sleep clinic had gave him a prescription for anything, you know. And my sister and I both stay in communication of what he's taking, you know, so if there's anything I need to know, if I'm going to the ER, if she's going to the ER. So we had no idea that the sleep clinic had gave him anything, you know. He never said anything. They had gave him a prescription for Ambien, and we had no clue. But he had been taking this, and I was kind of questioning a couple of things that was happening because he would call me, and it was like, did you call me? Yeah, but I called you yesterday. Well, okay, click, you know. And so I was like, this isn't good, you know. So evidently he had been taking this, and I guess it was building up in his system. Sunday night, he had fell asleep early in the evening watching the Super Bowl, was kind of what we've put together. He had fell asleep, and the power had went off because of the ice and everything. Well, he had been dreaming, and when his dream was that he was underneath the house. So when he woke up, it was black, and he thought he was underneath the house. He had on short sleeve shirt, no shoes, no socks, fought his way out of the house and got lost. And wandered, we don't know how long he wandered around, but one of the neighbors, everybody from there knows Daddy. He's been there for years, and he had finally knocked on somebody's door. And you talking about God's mercy? Because by that time, he had done made it out to the highway. The house that he was at was right there at the highway. And it was just like, you know, my sister and I, when we first started this journey, we didn't know about the Ambien. But we don't know how long he had been out there wandering around, and finally he had knocked on a neighbor's door. And that neighbor knew how to get a hold of a young man that has fished with Daddy. And his mother was able to get a hold of my sister. And but just listening to the words tonight and about developing your relationship with God, there's not a night that I don't go to bed that I don't pray. And there's not a morning that I wake up and I don't get out of that bed before I pray and talk to the Lord, you know. And then I pray constantly throughout the day. But you never know, you know. It's like my sister, and I mean, he's been doing good, but we also see, like, Sister Ann was talking about Sister Crow and Brother Crow. Daddy just turned 75 this last November, and we lost Mama last year. And we're seeing a change, you know. The mourning of Mama has really gotten him down, and then just his age, you know. And some of you young people don't understand this, but every time you hit that five-year mark, whether it's 40, 45, 50, when you hit that number, you go through a change in your body, you know. And so, and he just hit 50 or 75, so it was kind of like we're just seeing things. But I don't want you to look at the bad thing that happened to him. I want you to look at God's mercy. That's what I saw. I mean, all I seen written all over it was, you know, God helped him to at least knock on somebody's door, and that those people knew to take care of him. And God just, you know, he just led him to where he needed to be. And I just thank the Lord, you know, because my dad stood faithful for my sister and myself in a marriage that was very hard for him. You know, he loved my mother. He stayed married to her to the day she died. But she had a mental illness, but he never would leave my mama because she was his daughter's mother. And you talking about planting something down in a daughter's heart? You know, you do that for your children, and they will see it later on down the road when they get older. It's like I look back and I think, oh my gosh, you know, that marriage is for better or for worse, and my daddy sure proved it. But I want my daddy up above. I want my father up above to know how important he is to me. You know, he ranks above my natural dad, but I just had to praise him tonight, Brother Pryor. I just had to praise him.
Big as hers, but nevertheless, I promised God that I would get up and brag on him last Friday night, I think, when we came to that youth chili supper thing. I had gone to Sam's to get some medication for Stan, and I was texting somebody and, you know, went to the ladies' room and walked out of Sam's. Phone was in there, but I didn't know at the time till I got home and realized I didn't have it. So I dropped Grandpa and Natalie here at the church, and I said, I'm going to go back to Sam's, and I'll be back. So all the way to Sam's, I was just praying, Lord, I have so many pictures on that phone. I have so many contacts. I said, please, Lord, allow an honest person to turn that phone in, because it can be anybody, you know, any dishonest person. There's so many out there, but we have a lot of honest people out there too. I feel like there's a lot of honest people here. But anyways, I said, I will brag on you and tell her about it Sunday, you know, which I wasn't here Sunday. So I just don't want this day to go by with thanking him. Because when I got there, I went straight to the desk and I said, did anybody turn in a phone? And he goes, what's your name? I said, Linda Fisher. He goes, here it is. And I said, and she goes, well, we called your niece. She said she was your niece, and she told us who your name was, so that's why I asked you. I said, thank you. So, I thanked him all the way to church. I was so happy, because that, you know, that's a little thing, but it's a big thing for me, God allowed that to happen for a person like that to turn it in. And guess what? Friday night, I left, and I left my tablet here, so if anybody found it, I know there's a lot of honest people here. Oh, Sister George, you got it? Thank you. So, I was not worried about it because I knew I left it here, so I knew it'd be safe. But I know I'm bad about that, about phones and sunglasses, umbrellas, keys. But, you know, And you know, I feel like I was getting better, and but my memory's not getting better. But anyway, but God's helping me. Without Him, I couldn't do it. And I don't want to be in the negative side and say, you know, oh, I'm getting old, because, you know, it is taking longer. I used to fall, and I'd be back in a day or two. This has been, what, 5 days? And it's like, oh, Lord, I can feel my age, you know, and it does take longer to jump back. But that doesn't keep me down. You know, I would have been here Sunday night. I texted Brother Smith, and I said, if I, you know, I had took some medicine, and I said, if that's gone, I'm going to be there. But then, you know, I got the message that service had canceled. But what would have kept me away would have been ice, because, you know, I fell in the dry. I'm talking about there was nothing Saturday, you know, and so I know that I would have. So I told Stan, I said, I want you to go to the storage room, get my walker. I'm going to use it. I ain't going to go walk outside anymore without it. You know, I don't care. I don't have pride, that kind of pride. It don't bother me to use a walker. I'm going to use it if I need to, because, you know, I've got this knee replacement thing that bothers me, and it kind of goes out on me sometimes. So y'all just keep praying for me, because I am determined that I'm going to be here no matter what, and, you know, unless something like that happens. And I'm thankful. I'm so thankful that He allowed me to be a part of the body of Christ.
I appreciate the Lord this evening. Appreciate everybody's good testimonies. It's nice to feel I feel excited in the Lord. It's me and Brother Oates, sometimes I'll look at him and I'll say, well, it's Wednesday. Sometimes you're not as excited as you are other times. I wasn't for sure. I didn't know tonight, and I felt good all day. Personally, I've been reading and studying on some things, and one of the things I've been studying primarily on is the difference between physical laying on of hands and the spiritual laying on of hands, and there is a difference for sure. And then scriptures that are used to imply that hands were laid upon somebody, and then scriptures that are misused to represent that they were. But that's not what I'm going to talk about tonight. I'm not going to be up in just a few minutes, is my intention. Just want to say I appreciate that song. I like that. It had some good. The boisterous winds does blow out there. True, don't it? Appreciate y'all putting that together on such short notice. But sometimes that's the best thing. That on the fly stuff, a lot of times is really pretty good, unless I'm cooking it. But I just appreciate God. Appreciate His Son Jesus, and one of the things that I appreciate come to my mind when Jody was singing that song is I stand complete in Him. And that phrase kept going through my mind, is to stand complete in Jesus. The world has an idea that Jesus done it all and you don't have to do nothing. It's called greasy grace. We hear about it occasionally. And the Bible does have some things that it says about that you have need of nothing, that you basically that you're complete in Him. That's in Colossians, the second chapter. It talks about just being complete in Him. And then the Bible talks about another time about entering into a state of rest, how that because of unbelief, I was going to say Hebrews 11:1 starts out saying that faith is the evidence of things, or the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. And so if we, by faith, you know, we believe that the worlds were formed. We don't believe, it was me and Brother Mark and Brother Tally was talking before service about the human body, and I was explaining congestive heart failure to them in the way that I know it and learned it. So, you know, maybe they might can understand more of how it works. And after I was done explaining, Brother Talley said, "Yeah, yeah, we evolved." Well, there's, in other words, he was just mocking the theory of evolution. When you realize how intricate the balance in a body is, it's a very intricate thing. And how that just a little bit of pressure differences can cause us to develop fluid in our body, in our interstitial spaces, so that we start to drown in our own fluid. Just too much of anything in life can cause us to start to get out of balance. You know, just a little bit too much potassium in you can give you a heart attack. Too much water can get you drunk. You believe that? You know how much water you'd have to drink to get drunk? A lot. But you do that because you displace the electrolytes in your body, and your body can't function properly. Not enough water, you get dehydrated and many other things, and not being properly hydrated leads to heart failure. Believe that or not. It is a leading thing they discovered. For many years, you know, science has been going on, and they've been studying the human body, and that, you know, it's funny that the more they study it, they still never just get off to understand that, I mean, God created this thing. And if God has such a minute balance that he created us in, how much more is his body in the body of Christ need to be in balance? It's a balancing act. A little bit too much of this and not enough of that, and a little bit too much of this and or that, not enough of this. And so it's a constant thing in the body. You're constantly taking in and you're constantly expelling things. If you're not, that's one of the things, to my understanding in the Bible, that if that's why the Hebrews could not eat a pig. The Jewish people could not eat hog meat, could they? Is that right? That's right. Some of the reason is a hog don't sweat. So everything it eats, it's only got one way out, and if it don't go out that way, it becomes part of that hog. And so it becomes contaminated. And if we just take in everything all the time and just taking it in, and we're not sweating anything out of us, then we become contaminated. That's why the Zija thing, Brother Michael and Brother Smith was pushing the Zija thing. Y'all still do that? You still do that? Zija? I call it Zija, you know, this Oklahoma thing. That I just got to be a long I. But, because it just don't sound, they don't look like an E. They need to put an E there for me. But, okay. Anyway, is they have this thing called detox stuff, and that's what that does, is it detoxifies all the impurities that develop in your body. Well, even just eating clean, if you just eat clean, 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 you're still going to develop those things. It's a natural byproduct of eating. And so coming into the body of Christ and developing and becoming mature in the Lord and growing and developing, there should be things expelling out of us constantly. And I do believe that we sit among people, and I don't believe that there's sinners in here. I don't believe I'm preaching to a congregation of sinners. Sometimes I think that when we preach, that sometimes we put everybody like we're all sinners. We're all not all sinners. I don't believe we're all sinning. I don't even believe there's 1% in here that's sinning. I think sometimes we fight and we worry so much about, I don't want to sin, I don't want to do wrong, so we don't do anything. And the fear of failure, unfortunately, prompts us into neutral. It doesn't promote us to carry on. And one of the things that does that, really, is a man fearing spirit. Is we're afraid. I don't want to lose respect for you, and I don't want you to lose it for me. I want you to like me. I want you to care for me. And to understand that whenever we came to know Jesus, that there's something took place in us and grew us and developed into us, and we are not the same person we used to be. And I appreciated Sister Thompson's testimony. It's something, as we've been going out, Brother Smith commissioned four of us guys to go out. For us men to go out, and I believe that I don't know who all still doing it. I know I'm still doing it every other Wednesday. That's why I'm doing it, is I'm out visiting churches, and we're developing a little rapport with a particular group, and so much that we went into their Bible study here a while back, and they just pretty much just let me have my way with what I wanted to say, and it's just real free, and it felt really good, and they was eating it up. But what I did find out about them is they worship. I would consider them a hardcore worshiper. I mean, when they worship, they are hardcore, and it it quickened me to want to worship the Lord a little more. It's His name that needs to be exalted. It ain't the name on the marquee, and it ain't the catchy little slogans we have that needs to be raised up before man. It's the name of Jesus. If I be lifted up, I will what? Draw all men unto me. But why is it that if God used a man in the ministry and people in a church and the diversity and the branches of the assembly that go out into society to draw me, that I think that He can't do that today? Are times that different? I don't think so. And so let's just jump over here to Colossians. And again, this ain't going to take very long. It's not really a continuative thought in its entirety. In the church of what was it, Colossae? Is that how you say it? Yeah, Colossae. It was always, if you listen to the wording of what has been written about them and to them, it seemed like they was always being stretched a little bit, and they was pulled back from where they should be. And there was always something pulling them, and there was something straining at them all the time. And so Paul was constantly having to tell them things. And here's one of the things he told them. In verse 7, well, let's just verse start here in 2 and 6. Says, "And as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him." Another place in Romans says, "Walk ye what? In the Spirit. And you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Let me tell you, I believe that we are a people that are trying our dead level best to not walk in the flesh. I believe that we are trying to walk in the Spirit. I believe that when we study our Bibles, as a minister in here, I study my Bible in a way that I hope that God can anoint it. And whenever I sit up here or I get ready to talk, I pray, God, Lord, anoint my mind to anoint and help your people. Because you're one of His people. Rooted and built up in Him and established in what? In the faith. That's the faith of the gospel. But also, I would like to just inject this little part here, that it takes a certain understanding to develop faith in Jesus. I told Brother Oates here the other day, I said, wisdom comes... Why does I say that? Wisdom comes through experience. How was it that went? Oh, I can't catch it. I can't. It's right on the tip of my tongue, but I can't think it. But anyway, oh, yes. Wisdom comes through experience. And unfortunately, most experience comes through bad decisions. And even Jesus had to learn obedience through what? The things He suffered. So if He had to do that, what makes you think that He's the Son of God? He had to do those things. I'm going to have to do those things. But then He says this. He says, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with all thanksgiving. And that's what I think is going on here tonight. I think we're abounding with some thanksgiving, some true appreciation, some worship and admiration for Jesus. I think that what Brother Phil told me the other day, and this, I'm going to purloin this, is he said, Jesus, and this, I like shock jock things. I like things that grab us and make us think, but Jesus ain't worthy to be praised. That got your attention, didn't it? The Bible commands us to praise Him. He don't have to do anything. Now, I know there's a couple places, and in particular one, where that David said that He is worthy to be praised, but He don't have to do anything in order for me to praise Him. He is Jesus. He's my Savior. He's done it. And God the Father most definitely don't have to do anything. And I appreciated the spirit of worship that entered in tonight. Didn't you? Didn't you fill it up, Brian? I hope you fill up, Brady, whenever I'm done talking at you and to you and with you. And if you want to inject something, jump on in. That's where I think church should be. I love that. Just go easy on me. I'm fragile. But I believe that we're abounding with thanksgiving. I felt that in Brother Phil's talk, and I felt that in Sister Thompson's talk about her dad. Nothing touches you like a loved one. Nothing touches your heart. Sometimes a thought came to my mind a while ago when Brother Phil was talking, that sometimes we have to feel like Jesus And until you feel like Jesus in this right here, you'll always be lacking one thing, but we'll always have to go through the act of being betrayed by somebody. To know that you put your heart and soul and love and dedication in somebody and they betray you. That's heart-wrenching, isn't it? But whenever you can have a difference with somebody and not want to betray them, not want to belittle them or cut them down or cut them out of your life, but there's a gap and a distance there, and you don't betray that trust, then you've grown through the act of betrayal. In other words, you've done been betrayed enough yourself that you develop the sense that you don't have to be betrayed or you don't have to be the betrayer anymore. Someone told me the other day, I'd rather be a hater than a traitor. I don't think so. I don't know. I had to ponder that one. And then, I believe we have to be Judas sometimes. Unfortunately, there's times in my life that I've been a Judas. I'm probably the only one of us. But somebody put confidence in me. Somebody put hope in me. Somebody put love in me. Usually what betrays you is the son. Imagine being betrayed by your son. Imagine being betrayed by your father. Those hurt. And sometimes we have to feel like Judas. Judas, after he'd done his act, he went and tried. I believe that he felt so sorrowful. The Bible says he hung himself. Didn't God curse the tree he hung himself on? Is that true? Do what? He cursed the land he... Did he hang himself? He threw himself off a cliff. I got it going both ways up here. Somebody look it up. Ministry ain't got it figured out. He hung himself. Thank you. And so to know what that feels like, I've done that. I sure have. I don't want to do that again. To know what Esau done, that he sold all he had for a bowl of porridge, a bowl of beans, a bowl of oatmeal. God Almighty, you know how desperate you got to be to sell everything you got for a bowl of oatmeal? That's pretty sad. And he couldn't find repentance no matter what he done. He couldn't find it. We've had to do that. So all these things that people went through in the Bible, we've had to go through. And if it hasn't developed something in us, then we have missed the mark tremendously. Then he says this. He says, Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit and after the tradition of men and after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. And really what he was dealing with there, the rudiments of the world, the tradition of men, he was really talking about the Mosaic law and all those workings. And if you go into Ezekiel, the first chapter, or Isaiah, the first chapter, he says, you know, I'm sick of your burnt sacrifices and offering, I would not. I'm tired of all that. And so that's really what he's dealing with there. He says, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. And that complete there, I don't think that that's a completely mature Christian. But the potential to develop fully as what those Jews believed that the law could bring them to, see, they believed that if they'd done all these acts of laws, it would bring them to this complete stage. A justified life, and very few made it. Brother Painter said the other day that 3,000 and 5,000 and a number that no man can number, a great number, came in. And you ever wonder where they put them? They didn't have a big building. These people were hiding out. They was going to get killed if they got caught. You don't amass 3,000 people without drawing attention, and you sure don't do it in today's country. You put 3,000 people together somewhere, you got all kinds of eyes on you. But they could not understand that without all those works How could somebody be complete? And in Acts, the 15th chapter, there comes such a quarrel between the Jews and the Gentiles in the body of Christ of how to make the Jews do everything we've done, because they kept trying to pull them back to that stage of works and natural works of the law, thinking that, well, they got to do these things or they won't be like us. They can't make it. And so Paul was telling them, he's telling them that you are complete in Christ. You don't need to do all that. You don't let some man beguile you of this. And so I say to us, let's be careful for ourselves. Listen to what you listen intently. I've taught my boys since they was little that wording is everything. If it wasn't everything, when they had the car commercial on the radio, and at the end of it, and it goes, warranty is subject to this. And he runs through that thing, sounds like a one of your old 8-year-old record players on high speed, you know. And you get to the very end of it, and dealerships aren't very, you know. Because and you got to slow down. Now, I'll need to know that bottom, that fine print. And so exactly what am I saying and exactly what are we doing? As I'm saying this right here, that we are more complete and we are more mature in Christ than we are giving ourselves credit for. That it's not all the works that we do all the time that we think is going to work us into some place. That we have reached a place of maturity. I just have to believe that. I believe that the body of Christ is a mature body. It's been going on for several hundred years. It just hasn't started in the last 100 years. The part we know has. But God's been working on something long before Will Souter showed up on the scene. There was somebody, there was a group, there was somebody knowing that there was something more that needs to be done, and how can we do this? And they were just working little pieces. Just from the hips, well, you know, you take your body, your natural body, you've got shoulders and a backbone and a rib cage, but from the bottom of your bottom rib to your hip bone, you have 5 vertebrae. Your lumbar vertebrae. Is that right, Brother Fred? Don't remember. My nurse ain't here tonight. There's 5 vertebrae. On top of that is 12 vertebrae, and on top of that is 7 more that connects to your head. It's funny how all those numbers just line up, ain't it? But from the middle of your body to your hips, there's 5 vertebrae and a tailbone, and that's it. And so there was somebody that kept that lineage true, and now we're down here in this leg part of the man-child, I believe, and that's who we are. We're trying our best to keep this. Now, he makes another statement in this. And you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power, in whom you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And then he goes on through there, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances against us. Now let's just jump over here to Colossians 4. And 12, he says, and Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, salute you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. And so to stand complete and to stand perfect, I'll just tell you, I didn't sin today. That I know of. That man was with me all day long. So if I did it, he was part of it. He is an accomplice. He sinned, and I turned away. No, he didn't. That's a good man you got there. I'd keep a hand to hold on him. But I don't believe I sinned today. I really don't. And I believe that there's people in here just like that. I've done everything you required of me today, Lord. And tomorrow, if you put something on me to call somebody who's sick or to go visit the sick or to do this or to that, then I will do that. But you didn't do it today, so I'm not guilty of it today. It's so easy to borrow from tomorrow But tomorrow's not here yet. And it's so easy to worry about problems that tomorrow may come. Now, I believe in foresight, but you can. It's like these doomsday preppers. Everybody watch that show, Doomsday Preppers? I watch that stuff. I watch a guy build a house on top of a house. Basically, is what it is. He's down in Texas. Then they've got rooms, and they've got bunkers, and they've got all these things. And people got escape plans, and it's cool. And it's, you should have things. Now, I believe that. Okay? But don't you think God can find you in a hole in the ground? Don't you think God can find you on top of the roof of your house? Don't you think God can find you on your job? I do have a plan that if something happens, you know, the big one hits, the big one hits, then my four, we know what to do and where to go. But just this little ice storm that hit down south blocked up the highways and they couldn't get anywhere. And so if I've got one motorcycle, I've got saddle, I can only put so many people on there. So somebody is in trouble. And I used to ride on my brother's bicycle, okay? A couple of us neighbor kids, and one of us would be on the handlebars, and the other one would be riding on the crossbar, kind of side saddle on the crossbar, and one would be standing on the rear lug nuts to the wheel. Y'all ever do all that? Yeah, four people on this bicycle, and him just pedaling away. So you can have an escape plan. But nothing is going to take the place of the escape plan you're working on tonight. You know that? Nothing can take the place of that. The average American family has one day of food in their pantry right now. Okay? I think it's 3% of Americans have 3 days. 1% of Americans today have enough food in their pantry to last 1 week. You can burn $300 at Walmart in the blink of an eye and carry it in under one arm, just basically. And that ain't because I'm too lazy to make two trips. It just ain't that much there. Who was Sister Sherry posted that, wasn't it? Was that you posted that about making trips? So you load up all them sacks. Has this got anything to do with anything? Less than 1% of people in America, I mean, it's like .... you know, whatever. You can Google it, everybody can Google it, have got enough food to last 30 days. I have got thousands of rounds of ammunition from a .22 mag. I believe in light and fast. Okay? Bullet placement. And in the 40s, coming out of the 30s, depression, into the 40s, there was such a bad time in the United States. Everybody was out of jobs and all these things. And my wife's grandpa, Herman, they were starving to death. And they had a dog. It actually wasn't even a real coon dog, was it? It could hunt coon, but that wasn't really its forte. Its forte was probably chasing cattle, okay, and eating biscuits. But the hardships was on. And they was down and eating the dog one leg at a time, just to make him last. It's kind of like Jerry Clower. They said, Jerry, said, what would you do with this hog? He said, well, that hog's so good, I'd eat it one ham at a time. So, you know, in other words, you're going to have to stretch it out. But times were hard. This was over in southeastern Oklahoma, where there's 5,500 people in the entire space called Latimer County. They took off to go hunt, and they hiked, I believe it was 2 days out, before they finally could find a fish to catch, an animal to kill, and this dog hit a track and ran a coon up a tree, and they killed a sow coon and one of her cubs, one of her little coonies. What do you call a baby coon? Kittens. You can tell I'm not a coon hunter. So if you think that the population is so big, there's 663,000 people in Little Rock right now. If it all hits in the morning at daybreak, there ain't going to be nothing by noon. Okay? And yet, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor what? His seed begging bread. Well, God, just in case you overlook me, I've been serving you my whole life. My family's been serving you. My children serve you. Everybody serves you that I know. I hang out with good people that serve. Just in case you overlook all of us, I'm going to stockpile a bunch of MREs and a bunch of water and all this stuff. The reason I'm talking about all this, my dad's he's all into this. He's off the grid. And so I was talking to him. He kind of got me on that kick. And I'm thinking, Dad, all you need is Jesus. You say, well, Jesus ain't, you know, he'd tell me, well, Jesus ain't fed you. Well, he's fed me. Jesus ain't clothed you, Jeff. Well, he's clothed me. Thousands of people have electricity all around me. My little old house still just a burning and going. They sent out a warning. Jody's phone rang. They said, we're Entergy. There's 10,000 people out of electricity, and we're going to be fixing yours in 3 days. I hollered up the stairs. Hey, boys, if you got anything that needs to be charged or plugged in, do it now. We're fixing to lose electricity. It's over. But guess what? Just kept burning all night long. I may go home, and it's out. I don't know. I got an inverter. So I'm not saying, you know, don't put enough food in your pantry or something like this. But don't bank tomorrow. And Brother Michael's, he's a money man. He plays with other people's money. That's the best way to play with it too, ain't it? Other people's money. And it's always funner to spend other people's money. That's why I work for UPS. They got deep pockets. And we spend a bunch of it, don't we? And they let me know it. I'm sorry to be off subject, and I sure don't mean to be, but it just kind of hit this spot. Just give me one more second. Is this right here? All they got to do is raise inflation, what, 1%? 8%? 1%, I'm sorry. All they got to do is raise inflation 1%, and your bankroll is going down. All they got to do, you can have $500,000 in the bank, okay? Because let me tell you, I mean, I'm working on my second million right now. I done gave up on the first, okay? I'm working on the second one. But I assure you, all they got to do is raise the gas at the gas pump another dollar. And of course, whenever we went to Searcy, we ended up working for UPS, and I had the most gas-guzzling vehicle ever created. It's called the Ford Explorer. And I had a four-wheel drive version with a gutless V6 in it, and it got about 11 miles a gallon. Okay? It was horrible, wasn't it? And gas was $4 and some odd cents, and UPS was wanting me to move these trucks all over the country. And it was bad because I needed the money, but I couldn't afford to run. So they would pay me. Boy, I mean, it was $100 to fill that thing up. We'd go Texarkana back. There's a tank down there and a tank back. I mean, it's horrible. I kid you not, it was nasty on fuel. It was rough. If I could have got us all on a motorcycle and a saddlebag each, I'd have done it. I promise you. But you know, there was always enough just to keep that going. Remember, Rachel went with us one time. It's the first time I'd seen her in years, and we called her, and Brother Michael let her go move a truck with us. And we had to go down to Texarkana, and then go all the way the back roads through Camden into El Dorado. And I told Jody, I said, I don't know how we're going to have enough money. I don't know how we're going to do it. And we got to feed this girl. And I can't pay her until we get paid. And UPS, Brother Olson discovered, they pay you when they just want to pay you. And back then, it was really that way. It's gotten better now. It's somewhat scheduled. But before, it was just, you got an email and you shouted to victory. I could always tell if I got an email, because back at the time I had a flip phone, but Jody, she'd call me, hey, I knew I got paid. I was eating good tonight. I guess I said all that to say this. We don't have to worry so much like the world worries. You may not have a lot in your cupboard right now, but you got something. You may not have a lot in your home as far as furnishings, but you got a home and you got a cover. You got a nice home. Appreciate that. Appreciate knowing people got nice homes. I appreciate all y'all folks. Anyway, I'm going to call it quits right here. But I just want you to know that we've got more faith in God, and I've got more faith in God and this plan of salvation than I have in a banking account and in a food bank and in a food storage and in a 22, because all it takes is a little bit of water getting in the wrong spot and my ammunition's ruined and I'm out there with making a bow. I watch all these survival shows and I think, I can do this. Can you? So why in here, when we have plenty, do we act like we just are surviving? If you have plenty, why am I just surviving? Those people intentionally put themselves, Bear Grylls and all these guys, they intentionally put themselves in them places and starve out for a week. But we're not starving. I'm not. Anyway, that was 33 minutes and 58 seconds. Kept it under 40. And it's 9:20, and I apologize. I really meant to be done about 10 after. I appreciate everybody working tonight. More than anything, I appreciate a good spirit. I appreciate feeling God come in. Thank you. Good night, and the Lord bless you. If you would, before you leave, remember Brother Smith, remember the Houston meeting. We're going to have some people come back by Sunday. They called me and told me. So hopefully we'll be having them come back by from the meeting. And then, of course, pray for him, would you? And then also, if you would, pray for Brother Durham. I'm not hard of hearing too much. But I can't imagine what it'd be like to be losing your hearing, especially through surgery. And it's frustrating, isn't it? It can be. Well, it would be to me. But if you would, lift him up in prayer, would you? He's a good man, and he's got a great heart, and I do love him for sure. So let's keep him in our prayers. Can we do that? If you can't, then just go get some little foam earplugs and stick in your ear and just go all day. Jody? Oh, you know what? Did you see what I just did? And y'all didn't say a word about that? Are you kidding me? Y'all are something or another else. I've been sitting here talking to this tie tack, and every one of y'all sitting there just as straight-faced. Y'all ought to be politicians. Oh, my God, that's hilarious. I don't care who you are, that's funny. You get that on video? Thank God. Yeah, you know what? We ought to put together the Body of Christ bloopers. Oh, that was good. See, ain't you glad you're going to get to go home with a good chuckle? Now, the sweetheart dinner. That wiped a smile right off the men's faces because they're like, oh. Okay, a week from this Saturday, 7:30? 6. It got moved up to 6. Correct? A week from this Saturday, going to be downstairs. Be sure to bring your sweetheart and a pocket full of money. When do you need the money, Brother Painter? It's $15 a plate. Isn't that right, Brother Painter? Back on the back door, there is a flyer. I'm not used to seeing them. Yes, there's a flyer. Tell you guys are horrible. Can it be paid that night, or does it have to be paid in the front? Okay, it can be paid that night, but like anything, you know, if you can do it on the front end, it all the better. Because and more importantly, can we have a show of hands tonight? And those who aren't here, can y'all let us know? I'm going to bring my sweetheart. She's going to bring me, brother. Are you counting? Put them all back in the air. Higher. We're giving free popsicles if you get your hands above your head. Okay. Okay. All righty. Well, God bless you. Be careful going home. It's probably going to be some ice up.